Preaching is a job. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. What did I say? It's a job. If a bank manager can do it, a preacher can do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I agree. It's my personal responsibility to make sure that my life is an example. But if I refuse to do that, don't just get angry. If you hear that, Pastor Banky, every evening, you go there fighting wife, they blow the... Not say the woman, they wear glasses now. Not be bad eye. Now the guy don't punch her, eye don't change color. Be angry. Are you getting my point? Pray for me. If I do that, pray. But Bible study time, still come. When I start talking about rebellious women, close your ears. You should know that my problem is punching bag. Don't just hear me again. But once I finish that and I start talking about the fraternity of Christ, open your ears. Because the anointing has come. Don't go and marry and go and buy glove because you were listening to the guy who used to beat his wife. It's not normal life. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. A man can teach you, and like Paul, refuse to discipline himself, and is a castaway. His ministry is cast away. His prosperity is cast away. His marriage is cast away. His children don't obey God. You look at his life, you can't believe this man used to minister. It doesn't concern you. It does not mean the things he said, they were not true. It just means that a donkey has thrown away the master that was on his back, and has gone the way of all flesh. He has been cast away. Do you understand that principle? It's a personal walk with God. That's what Christianity is. 2 Peter chapter 3. I said you should open to it. He said, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard." From verse 17. I'm reading verse 17. I want to read 17 and 18. He said, be on your guard, lest, being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now please notice what he wrote there. Before that, he had written a lot of things. From verse 14, he said, "Beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation." Then describe the letters of Paul. Having said all of these things, he says, since you know all these things, you know that people will fall away. You know that some people will twist the scriptures for their own personal gain. Some people will twist the scriptures for their own destruction. He said, since you know all these things, be on your guard. Be on your guard, like I was saying. He said, how do you do that? You grow in grace. Now, there's this principle I found from here, and you see all of our scriptures. Anytime God says, don't do this, he tells you what to do. And usually the key to not doing the other one is in the doing of this other one. Do you get my point? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? It said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That is, you are not supposed to worry about the book departing. You are supposed to worry about meditating day and night. Are you getting my point? If you don't meditate day and night, the book has departed. So the assignment is in committing yourself to meditating day and night, which usually is easy. And what God is saying here is the same principle, that there is a risk in life of falling from your steadfastness. He said the way you tackle that risk is by focusing on growing in grace. And that's what I'm beginning to talk about. I said all the things I've said up to this point to explain to us that there is room for growth in Christianity. And the amount of God's plan for your life you will experience on the earth is dictated by the degree of growth that you achieve to. You understand me? The maturity you achieve in life. This is how it works. God's blessings, God's plan, everything that God is pouring upon you, everything that Jesus procured for you, they are heavy. They are called the weight of glory. Doxa, the word doxa, that's glory, in Greek means a weight. It's something that is heavy. Are you getting my point? Once my son followed us to the gym, my friend and he saw us, you know, we just bend down. You pick a 35-pound, 45-pound dumbbell, you know, just pick it up and carry it to where you want to use it to go and sit down and start working out. You know, you just bend down, pick something that's 50 pounds. The boy being like 4 years old, he thought they must be light. So he went, tried to pick one up. The thing didn't bolt. He was so sure they screwed that particular one to the ground. Do you get the point? Any man just, no, you call it just some men just walking. Just bend down, pick up a weight, just go to somewhere, you know. You know, you're just walking out in the gym, and the young boy said, this was very light. And he tried to just lift one up. Normally because of the weight, I should worry. Don't enjoy yourself. Don't go near there. I didn't even bother. When he got there, he understood the point. The thing was screwed to the ground, he thought. Therefore, let us assume, my son is saying, oh, daddy, throw me a blessing. I can throw him a bar of chocolate. He can catch that, right? I will not throw him 35 pounds dumbbell. I want to kill the boy. Listen to me, a lot of God's blessings, that's what they do to believers. If God throws those things you are begging for upon you, you will just die. Therefore, he waits until you have reached the level of maturity to be able to catch it and hold it. That is why, listen, you know, Rocky and I were driving down today, we were just discussing about life. And we said, in life, life is not about struggling, no. Let's use, you know, money is a very good way to illustrate what life is about. You see a man working very hard, morning till evening, and he's earning 10 naira. The man who's earning a million naira is probably not sweating as much as he's sweating. So Rocky and I said, I explained something to him. I said, listen, in life, just identify what you're supposed to do each time. And for anything you want in life, ask God for it. What I'm saying is that when you are ready, God will just lift you. He will just lift you to another level. Somebody told me a story of some young boys. They own one of the biggest non-major marketing oil company in Nigeria, right? You know, they have these major marketing oil companies, all the Mobil, Texaco, Ajip, all of that. But of the ones that are not amongst that here, they own one of the biggest. That the boys used to sell shirts. What did I say? Sure. Shirts. They used to sell shirts. And then one man who was their customer explained to them that, boys, this is not how they make big money. And they explained that, look, we're about to do something. Prepare papers like this. Do this, do this. And file in your own this thing too. And they just helped them, connected them before they knew what was happening. From selling shares, they began to sell crude oil. The same labor, the same effort, the same headache. They had to get imported shares. They had to do it. They have to track customers down. You are still owing us 25,000 naira. You know, the last shares you collected. Now, it is that will be $25 million, please. The same labor, the same effort, the same phone call. MTN doesn't charge them differently. So this is your phone call. It's to recover the money of the shirt you sold. So pay 10 naira a minute. I got this phone call. No big crude that they discuss. It's 1,000. It's the same money. In fact, they pay less. MTN will go and meet them. Say, sir, we have this package for you people. Have you seen bankers talk to big men? You feel sorry to. In fact, just by the way, if you have small money, don't go to the bank. Phone somebody. Tell them come and collect it. Team banker talk to me and say, yeah, you pay 25% interest. Can they ask Jimmy Ibrahim for 25% on a loan? Who answer them? If you don't take 9%, take it, go. Big men don't even pay all this. You know, you see COT, you transfer 2,000 naira through your account. The bank will collect maybe like 10 naira because of your 2,000 naira. When a big man transfers 20 million, they don't take one kobo. Because if you take the money, the man was okay, close the account. We are sorry, sir. We are very sorry, sir. We are very sorry. They will be apologizing. But there are some crooked banks in Nigeria. They like poor people. You know what I mean by poor people? Youth coppers, students. Yes. That's what I mean by poor people. They'll be stealing 200 naira from your account every month. They know you can't talk. They know you no go talk. What are you going to say? Who will answer you? But the man who has 1 billion in that account, they can't take one kobo. They go to the bank and say, please, our charges are like just 0.01%. Can we collect the amount? You will check it. Are you sure I want to give you that money? What have you done for me recently? They go to beg. But you now got a lot of students, youth coppers, 200 naira on every account every month. There's one particular bank, you know who I'm talking about. If you're a bad lodge, let's assume that you call your brother and say, bros, school day rough. So your bros said, and say, nothing today, but me, I just send you this 3K. Say, bros, that one no bad now. Your bros dropped 3K, they collect 100. Say, because 1 month don't pass, another 100. You draw the first 500 naira from the 3K, another 100. Say, why? The 3K was not lodged in the account, in the branch in which your account was domiciled. Then you take 100 naira, you say, sorry. Because you enter the bank to collect that 500 naira, they remove 200 naira. That why didn't you go to ATM? Then when you use the ATM, they say, sorry, this ATM is not in the branch in which you open your account. By the time they finish, 500 bucks don't come up for the 3K. So next time, tell your brother, text the money, text. No. Flash. What I'm telling you is the truth. You know now. They don't run to you too. You understand what I mean? Uh-huh. That's why I say in life, God, please make me a big man. Yeah, so that if you take my one cup, your manager will explain it right. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Anyway, so I explained, I said, look, it's not about struggling. Do you get my point? A time comes in with the same label, and that's what the beauty of Christianity is. And that's why I like to preach to people, don't be discouraged. No, there's no need for discouragement. God is judging you on how you are handling that 200 naira, that 400 naira. He knows. That when he was going to make David king, it was because of what he did with sheep. And there was no connection between being a shepherd and being a king. And look, Samuel hasn't died though. You understand what I'm saying? The spirit of Samuel is still roaming the earth. And God is still calling Samuel and sending him with oil to people's houses. Anointing them with oil to make them king in his own Israel again. That's a matter of fact. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what Christians do, you have to learn, I preach that message again and again, how to wait for God. It's important because God will come one day. It's whether he will know where to find you. That's the issue. Some people, God has sent their blessings. Say, go to that place, you will find my son there. He reaches the danger and says, Lord, we're not saying you are lying, but he's not there. The Lord will say, I know. Yes, I have to fulfill all righteousness that the blessing got there, but he was not there. Sometimes it appears as if God is confused as to your whereabouts. When they entered the garden, what did he say? Adam, where you there? Adam, where you there? Adam, where you there now? Adam, when he shouted, I did this side that they hide. Sometimes God behaves as if he's confused as to your whereabouts. The reason is because where he placed you, he didn't meet you there. Are you getting what I'm explaining? I hope you are following the point I'm making. Life is not about struggle. It's about being there when God is ready to lift you up. Why did I get into that? So I explained the issue of growing in grace, that there are things that God gives you to do. All right? Don't forget that. That's how God does it. He says, don't do this, but it tells you what to do. So he said, don't fall from your own steadfastness. How do you handle that? You grow in grace. It's important. And the point is that you will see from the way Peter spoke there, obviously it's your responsibility. Spiritual things are unlike natural things. In fact, even natural things, it's the same thing. What I was going to say is that in spiritual things, you have to make the effort towards growth. I just realized that in natural things also, you have to make the effort towards growth. If you don't eat, you don't grow. Food never enters your mouth by one automatic machine. No. You must get up, reach for it, eat the good food. That's the beautiful thing about parents. And that's what pastors are supposed to do for young believers. All right? You teach them what to eat and what not to eat. Children will only eat that which is sweet. But that doesn't help them grow. The parents will force them to eat that which is right. Listen, if you do as a pastor, only what people enjoy, they will curse you later in life. That's a matter of fact. Because right now, I look out at those days. I say, we're allowed to do this thing. These are the things. You know, let me not go into that. Because the meeting I went for was mature believers that were there. And we discussed a lot of things. You don't do things just because that's what people like. And I've said it before. Any man who does things as a pastor, because that's what people like, is called Aaron. That is his name. That's his ministerial name, Aaron. What is Aaron? Aaron is a man that builds a calf because of the people. The people. So you do, no, because children, if you are to follow children, they will eat ice cream for breakfast with cake. You understand my point? Then chocolate in the afternoon, sweets and chewing gum at night, and they'll be very happy. My son will look and say, I don't like that one. My wife say, you will like it. Sit down. It's good for you. The boy go, they look the beans, say, eat it, it's good for you. You don't like it, it's your problem. I know it is good for you. You've not seen children, parents carry cane, hang over the child, swallow it, swallow. No, really, every believer, no, you see, as a young believer, it's good you have a good pastor over you who will instruct you. I did not see you at Bible study yesterday. Where were you? If I don't see you next Saturday, I will eat you alive. Or bury you alive and dance over your grave. So out of the fear of him, you go. In that process, you get that which is right. That's why Paul will talk about, you know, honoring those who have what they call lordship over you. Those are things that are actually for young believers. They will tell you where to go and where not to go. What I'm going to explain. Spiritual growth, we must eat what is right. Are you getting my point? We must do what? Eat what is right. And we'll discuss the diet. Time is already going because I don't want to stay late. Though we started late today, but I don't want to stay too late, okay? I will continue developing these things next time. But let me just continue what I'm saying. So he said, grow in grace. That is, it shows that, what is grace? Grace is the manifestation of God's power in your life. People often define grace as unmerited favor. I've studied the scriptures enough. Bible never called it unmerited favor. That's not the meaning of the word grace in the Bible. It's not. Grace is when God's power is manifested in your life. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his power working towards me. That's grace. It's when God's power is working towards you. All right? That is grace. I hope you get what I'm going to explain. All right? So it's very important you understand it. God said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What is my grace? It's my power made perfect in your weakness. Grace is the power of God manifested. Like Paul will talk about grace that is given to each man according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That is, there are things you can handle easily. People will wonder, how come you can do this thing other people can't? It's because you have the power of God working through you. And therefore, this point I'm making, you can increase in the amount of the power of God you are experiencing in your life. Do you understand that point? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The more you walk with God, the closer you walk with God, the more you exercise yourself in the matter of the growth of grace, that increases the amount of the power of God you experience in your day-to-day activity. It happened at a point in time. Jesus was so full of this grace of God, the breeze was blowing. He got up and said, peace be still. And they said, what manner of man is this? Those days when we're young, we take all those testimonies. And we will look, when the breeze wants to start, you go outside. Oh yeah, breeze, stop, breeze will blow you down. Say, waiting they worry you. You wonder like, what's going on here? Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that the testimony of scripture is not true. No. It just means that you need to grow in grace to be able to experience some things. Anything you have to do that, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. You never reach that level. When the Bible talks about that when you talk about gifts, exercising your gift accordingly, in proportion to your faith, what it means is that you do things that you are persuaded about and you are confident you can handle. The way Jesus raised Lazarus, that thing, every day, I still pray about it. I meditate about it. I look at the lives of some men that God's power manifested so much through. Because it was with confidence he told the disciples days before they reached the place. So let us go and raise him up. Our friend Lazarus has died. And it's good for you that I was not there. Because Lazarus will live again. Let's go. When Mary saw him, and also Martha, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I wish you get the point. He wasn't confessing. I don't know whether I get my point. You know what I mean by confessing? Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm the resurrection and the life, hallelujah, hallelujah, Father God, I'm the resurrection. It's a good thing. You are trying to persuade yourself, you are not sure yet. It's good, it's good exercise. It's called meditate. Do you understand my point? Jesus wasn't doing that. When he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, like you come to me, he said, what are we going to do? He said, no, do like, he said, how are you sure? Let me give an example. I was in the barber salon one day. One woman, she was asking the barber, what do I do about this thing on my son's head? She had a lot of, what do you call it in English? I don't know. We call it tinea carpitis. Anyway, medicine. All right, she had this thing all over the head. So as the barber, I just stopped her. I said, madam, number one, I gave her some tips. Don't worry about this. It doesn't harm the child. Don't kill the child. It takes time to go, no matter how effective your treatment. I said, now this is what you are going to do. I gave her some simple tips and some cheap drugs to use, and I think it will take time to clear. And she looked at me and said, what do you do? I said, I'm a doctor. Is it a confession? It's a matter of fact. I am the resurrection. It's not like I'm just telling you why Lazarus will wake up. It's not. I'm not confessing that I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Just watch. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lazarus is about to come out. Right now. I'm going to call his name. Just watch. You are trying to convince yourself. Do you understand my point? You are not yet spiritual. Do you understand the logic there? When Jesus said, I am the resurrection, it was a statement of fact. And I'm saying this so that we all, that's what Paul meant. Paul read all those things to say, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. But you know what he was saying? You too, we read that thing and say, yeah. I don't know whether I get the point. And what I'm explaining that, look, there are things for believers to do. There are things for believers to do. One of the things we must, you know, let me just begin to stop. I'll continue next time, all right? We didn't read that Hebrews chapter 4 again. We'll read that one day, sha. We'll go read that. One of the things, anyway, what I wanted to say is that, please, Christians, I want us to have a quest. Do you get my point? In our hearts. That's my own. There's a laziness that has pervaded, you know, it's all over the Church of Christ today. I call it laziness. They don't know it's laziness. Christians don't know it's laziness. Everything. My pastor said, according to pastor, papa said, bishop said, bishop, if the man doesn't say, look, it's okay when you're a baby. Are you getting my point? But, bros, you get to grow. Are you getting my point? You have to grow. Men, all right? Sons of God, they grow in, children of God grow into sonship. We must grow. Let's not just be content. Are you getting my point? The only way you grow, there are two things to it. Well, let me just put three things. The word of God, prayer, and hardship. You will face hardship in life. The sufferings that walk eternal weight of glory. Affliction, they walk what? Glory. There are people who are about to resign jobs. You just got answer. God said, don't resign yet. See, your problem is the money they are paying you. Take it for another 1 year. I can't afford many things. Don't you eat? I've given you a nice landlord. Share the money into two. Half of it, your brother will use that one to go to school. He will live better than you are living right now as a student. Don't worry about it. It's your lot in life. For the next 1 year, you will endure hardship. 500 naira card a month is what I'm allowing you to buy. No recharge card. Any call you want to make after that, pay 15 naira by the roadside. I'm telling you. Listen. You Christians are not supposed to just looking for where everything is rosy. You will endure hardship. You must do what? Endure hardship. Olayinka and I were talking the other day. He made some statements. We discussed, I don't know what last time or the other day before. Anyway, by a week ago, or a little more than that. Describing people that God has blessed materially now. And he said, you had better enjoy this season of poverty. Because a time will come, you will beg for lack, you won't find. Did you hear what I said? Yes. You think, is it possible? It will happen to you one day. You will be looking for, how can a man be broke? Self? Okay, I want to trek. Let me trek, Joe. Waiting. You'll be tired of air-conditioned cars. As in, they'll not see you walking from your house. Daddy, where are you going? What is wrong? I just want to walk. No, sir. Please, enter here. Enter where? I have 15 cars at my disposal anytime I want. I want to walk. Every building after the 10 cars go, they stop. They say, stop. Good afternoon, sir. Please, sir, where are you going? Enter, let us carry. People, let me trek now. It will happen to you one day. It will happen to you one day. You will beg for poverty, you won't see it. You won't be looking for the opportunity to pray that God will give you rice. God said, which rice? By the time you turn like this, 15 bags, you turn to this, and this is a gift too. It's Christmas. You know the way we finish rich men? During Christmas, we finish them. Everybody is falling over themselves to give them something. That's why when you want to give people things in Christmas, share it to. There are some poor people who are begging, waiting for nobody, and you know nobody has been remembering you to. So don't worry. It's a season. Don't whine, don't complain. Endure it. Endure it with the word of God and with prayer. You are growing. A time will come when you will call rice and it will be raining like manna. You just say, there's this kind of long rice I saw the other day. You don't know three people heard it. Like the men of David. They will go to the market and say, please, where's the new long rice that came to town? This one is buying 2 bags. That one is buying 4 bags. By the time you come back at night, they say, wait, who carried back come here? They said they heard he wanted this kind of rice. So they all went to buy it. Hey, meanwhile, you have money. After you'll be begging for poverty, you won't see. So what I'm saying is that God has given you the privilege to experience it now, something that you will beg for one day you won't see again. So enjoy it while it lasts. It sounds funny, but I'm telling you the truth. What would I say? Christians must grow. You know, I said that there are three things. The word of God, prayer, all right? And the ability to endure hardship. Is that okay? But you must, listen, Christians, we must reach out for things. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? Yeah. You should have the quest to grow in grace. Stop, you know, Christians are so content with, you know, our papa said, you know, and they'll be quoting it all the time, foolishness. When are you going to be the papa to silver somebody else? That the people will be running up and down looking for anointing. Anointing their household. They are running up and down. I said, I'm not saying these are bad things. I'm saying you must grow. Do you get my point? One day a man asked me, he was describing something. He said, now please try and understand what I'm saying. He said, you know where the dungeon camp is? I said, yes. He said, you have been to camp before? Just something was, we were talking. I said, well, I pass by there when I'm traveling. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, I've never been to redemption camp. He was like, we're having this question around 1996. He said, that was 96, like, how many years ago now? That's 14 years ago, right? Yes. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, never been to redemption camp. You know what he said to me? He said, this boy, I've always wondered the kind of Christian that you are. I started laughing. He looked at me like, what? How can a Christian have not gone to the redemption camp? I said, they don't do anything there that interests me. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I said, they don't teach. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's no word there. Do you get my point? But you know, instruction, there's a kind of instruction I listened. I said, it's not bad. I can watch it on TV, but I'm not going to leave what I have to do now to go to camp. It's not a bad thing. I hope you get what I'm saying. No, it's not a bad thing. But I said, Banky does. And you know, point that I never thought about it until that day, until he told me it was a sign of bad Christianity. And all I could do was laugh. There are those who will say that the 2010 will not be good except they open it in camp. You decrease. So those who are in Brazil, what is going to happen to them? To me, all those things, a lot of times, the act of laziness. You are afraid to take your own destiny in your hands and get into a corner and discover God for yourself. You are afraid. You want to blame somebody's anointing if it doesn't work. It's not your faith. It's anointing. The oil, it was not the day early that morning. You want to blame somebody else. Believe me, I think Christians, you have a quest driving them in their hearts to want to know God personally. The time should come to an end where you pray in two names, the name of Jesus and the name of Pastor Bank, you know, that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? It should come to an end. It was okay when you were a baby, name of Jesus and name of your bishop, you know, that kind of thing. It's okay when you were 2 months old. Oh boy, grow up. You hear what I said? And you know how Christians grow? They eat correct diet. What did I say? Correct diet. They eat correct diet. They don't just sit down and enjoy to be ministered to all their lives. They say, me too, I must become a minister. Do you get my point? I'll be the one pouring forth life into people. that this water I'll give them to drink, it will be inside them, springing up to what? Eternal life. It's coming from inside them and producing effect outside. What am I going to say? Look, you should have a drive. A drive to know God, to be able to give answers, to be able to make decisions and help those who are younger than you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, growing in grace is, let me use the word, is a commandment in Christianity. You must eat good diet. Growing is automatic if you are eating the correct diet. That's the way it goes. And that's where you put your effort into. The eating of the right words, the eating of the right manner, the eating of the right nutrients. I think Christians, we like, you know, when I see Christians, they say, you know what, enter by the narrow gate. No, we don't like it. It's too difficult. We like the broad gate. My friend said in there, is our church now? It's just a church of declaration. And believers are like that. Lazy people. They just want declaration. Here, he says, Pastor Wute, I'm reading from Psalm 17. Yeah, just cause, oh Lord. This year, God, we hear your just cause. Amen. And give heed to my cry. Everybody sitting here, your cry will be heard. Amen. After the man finished reading, you know, lazily preaching to you for 70, you know, for 30 minutes, you are happy you have gone to church. When devil wakes up tomorrow and beats you properly, you understand, you're wondering why. Because the devil knows you have not eaten anything. You're hungry. Spiritually, as you waka, you stagger. He can see it. Yeah, no substance, nothing inside your soul. You know, I've been to church before that all people are waiting for. In fact, my friend used to go to redemption camp. He said some people come there. Eh? They will say, please, when Papa wants to start praying, wake me up. They will lay their mat after cooking beans. Beans. You come to camp to cook beans. Eating, they pack everything. Now tell their neighbor, please, when Papa wants to start praying, you wake me up. All the word that some people will teach, they don't hear it. All the special songs, they won't hear it. Any other thing, they don't hear. Then when Papa says, somebody shall wake up, Papa don't come. God is going to do something great for somebody before the man finishes saying it. The amen will start from Taraba State. You know what they call Mexican wave? When I look at people like that, sometimes that's the Jew. I they pity him. That even if you want to speak deep words, these people they won't let him talk it. Pressure, multitude. Jesus did not like multitude. He used to tell them a few stories and drive them away. So I went for to sow. Some fell by the wayside. Ooh. Meanwhile, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they are getting angry. And then the birds of the air came up. Birds of the air. Hey, birds of the air. Just looking at them. Afterwards, they all go away and say, my God, that guy can rhyme. Did you notice the way the word rhymed? The sower went for to sow. And some fell. Ayya, kakabalagadaba. What? Meanwhile, those who came for substance, they came and said, Master, what was that? You know what Jesus said? They are blind people. They don't know anything. He said, to you has been given to know. He said, to those ones, only will they give gist. Stories to excite them and make them happy. So you came for excitement, nothing spoiled. Multiply bread. Heal this. Go, don't just go away. Those who wanted to know were impatient. Peter was looking like, what's all of this? Say, John, so I went for to sow. John said, I don't know. You don't come again. So I'm fed by the wayside. Which wayside? I don't know for Ramu. And then they say, what was that? He now said, don't be angry, boys. He said, to you has been given to know. Those are the people who, after the multitude had dispersed, they went. I said, Master, please, without Jesus, I don't get the point. What were you talking about? So I went to, so where? He said, let me explain. Then Jesus now began to explain and open truths and teach them openly. A lot of Christians who go around just looking for stories that excite the flesh. God knows, the preacher knows, you're not looking for anything important. That's why it gives you a 15-minute sermon on a Sunday morning and everybody's happy. Now, story you want now. I was in Malawi last week. And as the plane was flying, I just knew that something great was about to happen. Who would receive something great today? Amen! Let us share the grace in fellowship. They have all gone. Listen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You don't need them to just be prophesying over your head alone. It has its place. Are you getting my point? It has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place. But you must have the desire to know God and not just to be excited. You must have the desire to get, you know, Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That power of resurrection, for me, is what we should all be. I mean, like, you read stories somewhere, say, God, this is what my life should be. And listen to me. Grace is released as a result of growth. The higher you grow, the more grace you can accept and you can hold in your life. One of the reasons why God has not made a lot of us, young people, in quote, prosperous, is because this is the time to grow spiritually so you can carry abundant prosperity. Because if he gives you now, you will die. Do you know what I mean? Physical, literal death. And there's never idle time in Christianity. I'm a living witness of the fact that there's never idle time. 1993, I finished my youth service as a young medical doctor. Let me summarize it. And I came to Lagos. Something drove me to Lagos. It was the way God, I hated that city as a person. You can imagine how hectic Lagos is now that Fashola is governor. Imagine what it was before he became governor. So I did not like it. But God led me there through an interesting, you know, manner. And for the next 9 months or so, I did not walk. I tried to walk. I didn't find. But just to fulfill this principle, I'm telling you that there's no idle time in Christianity. God said, I have given you work, except that it does not pay money. Your assignment for now is take a Bible and start reading. My brethren, I studied. I did. Every little money I get, I buy tapes and books. From one day I saw poster, Ron Kenoly, this and they are coming, School of Ministry, everything, convention, Victory Christian Center, I ran there. I would go in the morning and stay till night. I had nowhere else to go. During the break, it was too far away. I would just hang around the premises. I hardly had money to even buy snacks. From there, I will see one poster. It's very funny. I was JJC in Lagos. I will ask my cousin's driver, please. I'm passing on the road, I see a poster. I will copy the address and come home and say, please, I want to go to this place. How do we get there? Go from here, take a bus through here, go here, go here, go here. I will be getting back home. This is JJC in Lagos at 11 p.m. I do a fair share of trekking. JJC. My brethren, I was busy. I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone. Bishop doesn't teach anymore. If he's not listening to Bishop, you didn't catch him at the proper time. You know, I told you, multitude, they dilute anointing. Multitude, wicked souls, they dilute anointing. Should have known Bishop when I knew him. 2.5 hours ministration at the go. Deep teachings of the Word of God. I listened to Bishop until one day I laughed. My friend, Uche Igbokwe, he just left 2 days ago. He was in Nigeria again. He said, look at him. He's laughing like Bishop. I didn't know. Is it book? I will go to a bookshop, check what I had in my pocket, calculate the distance. I can track the distance now. I'll use everything to buy a book. Track the rest of the way home. Yes, I wasn't going to clinic and talking to sick people, but I was walking. I was walking. What am I going to explain? In the season you are in right now, the great things you want have not come. That's because God knows that they take a lot of time. And he said, you need time now to go for Bible studies. You need time right now to read. You need time now to pray the kind of prayer that twists the tongue. They never agree marry you. Yeah, there's a reason for it. So that when you wake up at night, it's only you. Are you getting the principle? You don't propose to six people. All of that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Keep on proposing. I'm not saying you should stop. Just continue. The propositions. Continue. But you don't go to jail until the time is ripe for you to really... Do you get what I'm saying? But until that time, bros, get busy doing something, you know, with the word of God. That's why God gave you the time. Labor. That's what we wanted to read. To enter into that rest. Because anyone that enters the rest will have ceased from his own works. That's what I want to preach next. Let us pray.